Daniels, brother and sister, A.G. Granville, New South Wales, Australia, April 1st, 1895. Dear brother and sister Daniels, last Sabbath I spoke in a well-filled hall in Ashfield. The hearers were much interested. We noticed that new faces are constantly being added to the congregation. The Lord gave me much freedom in speaking. I spoke upon the first portion of John 14 and presented the opposition which is sure to arise and the necessity for us to be fully prepared to meet it. I pointed to the great opposition manifested against Christ himself and then referred them to the first members of the human family where the same spirit had been manifested. Which one was it that resorted to violence? The one who was working contrary to the plainly expressed will of God. Cain refused to acknowledge the authority of God and slew his brother because he was obedient. In our work, we should manifest the spirit of meekness and submission, permitting, if need be, injustice, rather than indulge the spirit of Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. 1 John 3, verse 12-13. The Lord gave me a message for his people, and all seemed to receive it with joy. After I had finished speaking, a testimony meeting was held, and many testified to their faith in the truth. The Lord is indeed working, and the powers of darkness are at work also. I begged of our people not to indulge a spirit of retaliation, nor bring railing accusations against any of their opponents, but rather to cultivate the kindness and tenderness of Jesus Christ. I learned from Brother McCullough that a lady who has recently come into the faith was so stirred up by hearing Picton, the debater, abusing Elder Corliss that she told him he was an outrageous liar. She then grasped hold of his coat collar and pushed him out of the main hall into the entry. The people cried out, "Served him right!" But these demonstrations do no good. They rather give the enemy an advantage over us. Sunday, Caldwell, Maggie Hare, May Lacey, and myself drove to Ashfield in the platform wagon. We started early to see Brother McCullough, but missed him and arrived at the hall an hour early. During this waiting time, the enemy pressed in his temptations upon me. It seemed so inconsistent for a woman of my age to drive 11 miles to speak in the evening. I thought there would not be many out. Porter was holding forth in a tirade of abuse in the Petersham Hall. His service was preceded by the baptism of 8 or 9 persons, and I thought my congregation would be small. I now know this was a temptation of Satan. Mr. Porter's position against the law of God is mainly supported by abuse. He has trampled the Lord God of Israel under his feet by abusing his law, the transcript of his character. Next Sunday, he expects to make a clean sweep of the whole law by showing that it was done away at the crucifixion. Brother Hare was present, and Maggie Hare was also there to take down his address in shorthand. Porter went out of his way to heap personal abuse upon Brother Hare, held him up to ridicule, saying, after his remarks the previous Tuesday night, he thought he should have felt very much ashamed as he went home that night. He pitied him. Contempt and ridicule is the worst kind of insult, and the most difficult to endure patiently. But let us remember the proud boaster Goliath, who defied Israel. If this is not a circumstance similar to that one, I do not know where we can find one. There must be no letting up on the work here at this time. More help is needed. Another tent has been called for and will be pitched at Canterbury, about 2 miles from Petersham. The money has already been pledged for this tent. There must be additional help, but where is it to come from? By the way matters are shaping, it seems that Sydney will have to be thoroughly worked before this conflict is ended. It appears to be very difficult for me to consent to leave this work now to go to Tasmania, but I need a change. If someone could be sent here to assist the ministers already here, I might feel free to leave. Satan is stirring up the elements of his kingdom in a very decided manner. We cannot but move forward by faith. Although the temptations mentioned and other matters caused me to be much troubled in mind last night, as I stood up before the people, the blessed peace of Christ Jesus came into my heart, and I was filled with thanksgiving and love toward my God. The hall was well filled with noble-looking people. There was an unusually large number of men present who listened with deep interest. The Lord blessed me in speaking, and not one left the hall until I had ceased.
Sister Roberts, a nice, intelligent-appearing woman, newly come to the faith, told me that while Brother McCullough was speaking a few evenings before, she was obliged to go out with her little boy. There were two clerical-appearing men sitting in the back seat, and she could hear them talking together. One said,
"They ought to be got rid of. I would shoot every one of them. The battle is waxing hot, but the Lord lives and reigns."
Porter boasted that he has run the tents out of different places, and that the people will soon see that we will pack up our tents and leave this part of the country. But this proud boaster may be disappointed. Emily's letters just received. We shall be glad to see her at any time she can come. I have not time to read her letters over this morning. I shall continue to speak at Ashfield and Petersham until I leave for Tasmania. I may conclude that it is not best for me to leave here now, not even to go to Tasmania. Neither May nor myself have received a line from Willie for 3 weeks, except copies of letters written to others. Therefore, know nothing in reference to his movements. I thought you ought to know, and would tell me what is going on. I must now close, with much love to you, my brother and sister.